moment in Him as we worship Him, as we break our hearts into words and adorn Him. Mighty, eternal, everlasting God, we give you glory, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. So many people had to make sacrifices to be in attendance today, and we believe that your sacrifice is not in vain. Turn your Bible with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It is obvious that this place is too straight for us, so we believe that in the shortest possible time, we will be launching the embassy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edified the church. I would that ye all speak in tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. We're going to look at verse 6 again. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? My emphasis is verse 8. For if the trumpet, you see, that metaphor that was introduced there, I will explain subsequently. If that trumpet gives an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? I'm just trying to legitimize the need for a prophetic service. A kind of service where the anointing that will be operational will be such anointing that gives direction to a people. I want to justify that, but we need to do some Bible study in order for us to strike at the heart of the justification. The subject that is considered in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is the subject of prophecy. And the reason why prophecy was considered to be higher in rank than speaking in tongues is because of the need for edification. Because Paul said, if I just come to you and I begin to speak in tongues, you will not be able to decipher what I'm communicating. And my utterance to you is as significant as your capacity to decode what I am speaking. Speaking to men, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, is different from speaking to God. Because when you speak in an unknown tongue to God, you are communicating effectively with God. Because the Bible says that he that searcheth the heart, he knows what is in the mind of the spirit. There is an inherent decoder in God that can translate your tongue. So communication is not hindered in any sense if the object of your communication in tongues is to reach God. But communication can be hindered when the object of the communication is to bring the mind of God to a human being. So he now goes further to tell us something quickly. That just in case, the object of the enterprise is to bring clarity, a distinct sound unto human beings, the recommended approach will fall within four possible tributaries as revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. Can you help me with that scripture? 1 Corinthians 14, 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I speak to you either by, number one, revelation. Number two, knowledge. Number three, prophesy. Number four, doctrine. No matter the unction that is at work in your life, these are the four possible tributaries through which you can dispense the import of the hand of God that has rested upon you. Given the list above, what does Paul mean by revelation here? Revelation. We're in the mood of Bible study right now, so I am expecting feedback. What does Paul mean by revelation here? Is it the only way you can receive profit from the density of spiritual activity that is moving over my spirit is if I communicate with you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And what is it that makes prophecy stand out in its own category compared to the three other options of dispensation that is possible when the hand of God comes upon a man? What is it that separates prophecy into its own category that makes it an expression, an item of church life that Paul insists that every believer needs to put pressure upon himself to come to that level where he can prophesy? What is it about prophecy that makes it stand out from the other channels of possible dispensation of the import of the hand of God that is upon a man? Yes, I am expecting a feedback right now. What does Paul mean by revelation in this discourse? Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully as we proceed in this journey, because I'm trying to lay a foundation before so that we can interpret accurately the things that will begin to happen subsequently during the course of this conference. Revelation. What is the difference between a revelation and an inspiration? Because if God wants to communicate to the heart of man, there are only two sources of such communication, or two types of such communication. It's either a revelation or it is an inspiration. And what is the difference between a revelation and an inspiration? And why is it that inspiration is not in this list that Paul makes here? He limits the channels of dispensing unction to just four items. And in these four items, prophecy stands out. Hallelujah. Now, are you with me? You're with me? All right. In an inspiration, there is a word that we cannot separate from an inspiration. And that word is remembrance. So when God occasions an inspiration, what the Holy Spirit is trying to do to you is to bring into your remembrance several things that God has told you before. See, the thing about inspiration is a God-breath wisdom. Now, you're not with me. In dealing with God, especially if you want to have a supernatural ministry, you want to minister to people supernaturally, in dealing with God, you need to understand where the breath of God is, because it is the breath of God that imparts life on anything. The strategy that you are using, if it is devoid of the breath of God, it will not have authority to do spiritual business. So in inspiration, maybe you are confronted with a certain circumstance. You don't know what to do. And then the Holy Spirit brings something he had told you before, something you read in the Bible. He brings it into focus. It means that that particular wisdom or that emphasis is bringing to you has the breath of God, and it can communicate the authority of God. So in an inspiration, what God does is that he brings to your remembrance things that he had told you before, or things that are already planted on the soil of your soul. So inspiration reaches into the past. It doesn't reach into the future. In inspiration, there needs to be some material that is existing that God acts upon, and in living that material, it becomes his present revelation position, and he has the capacity to transmit his authority if you obey the object of that inspiration. Right? But in the case of revelation, revelation has to do with something that is beyond the scope of your data bank that is captured in your soul. Revelation is an attempt by God to take you outside of your regulatory box. It brings something that is outside your scope. It brings something that you were not thinking about. And even if you were to think widely, you would never have thought along the lines of the things that God discloses to a man when he has a revelation. Are you with me? There are several circumstances and situations, especially the ones that have to do with demonic afflictions, demonic issues, because Satan's authority is in his ability to shroud a matter, to conceal a matter. And many times when God empowers a minister to do active supernatural ministry, such a minister is equipped with the ability to pick revelations, because revelations take you outside of your thought box and brings you into a new horizon. You see, apocalypse, which is the Greek word for revelation, is to open the curtain. The items you will see when the curtain is opened are items that exist behind the curtain, but because the curtain is there, your gaze on those items has been restricted. And then in revelation, God now opens the curtain so that you can see some things which you were not allowed to see before. Your possibilities change upon stumbling upon revelation. Your possibilities change. Because when God opens the door to revelation, it means your soul has access to realities that is beyond the scope. And it is that added insight that gives you the capacity, the accuracy, and the authority to handle some matters sometimes. So one of the ways God expresses himself when his hand comes upon a man is that God has the capacity to take a man beyond the known into the unknown. That will be a revelation. The proof that the hand of God came upon you, one of the proofs, is that you will go beyond your thought cycle into things that were concealed and probably sealed by the glory of God. And God occasions a disclosure. And so that's what a revelation is. And if I am coming to you to communicate with you, to talk with you, to interact with you, and it happens to be that I come by revelation. Hallelujah. Can you salute my friend all the way from Port Harcourt? I think you can sit. This man is a powerful man of God. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? Now, so the proof that the hand of God is upon you is that the tributary of revelation finds expression, because you are not capable of generating a revelation. It's a spirit-induced activity. It's in a different layer and a different civilization. And if you are not equipped with adequate revelation, you will not be able to contend with the devil successfully on several fronts, on several grounds, given that Satan hides the secret behind bondages, behind his dominion in shrouds of darkness, and it will take a disclosure that is not as a result of the things you studied or the lectures you attended, the classes you were present in. It is beyond the scope of what you can be taught and what you can learn. It is handed out to you by the Spirit of God. That's an evidence of the fact that the hand of God came upon you. One of the byproducts of that kind of intercourse is revelation. Secondly, are you with me? Secondly, another proof that the hand of God is upon you is that you have access to a kind of knowledge that you cannot get apart from God. Hallelujah. I was traveling with my dad when he was alive, and when we entered into the vehicle, the Lord told me that this vehicle is going to have a flat tire while we are traveling. There was no way I could know that if not that the hand of God came upon me. So while we journeyed, I forgot about the world. When we were close to our destination, we had a flat tire. So while they were changing the tire, I now spoke to him. I said, do you know that God told me we were going to have a flat tire? He said, why didn't I tell him? I said, no. If I had told you, you wouldn't want us to travel to go on this trip. You see, he is an intellectual. But where that knowledge came from, the things he studied, the classes, the lectures, the PhD thesis that he wrote, and all of that, it did not give him access to that knowledge. Supernatural knowledge, spiritual knowledge, is facilitated by a faculty called an unction, which we have received from the Holy One. It is by this unction that we know things supernaturally. You know, the Bible says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. So you can know a man by reason of the witness that is sustained on that unction that you have received from the Holy One. That kind of knowledge is what we call spiritual knowledge. And just in case you don't have access to spiritual knowledge, you cannot be effective in spiritual warfare. Let's leave prophecy and jump to doctrine. Then, if you are following this, my lecture, very well, the question I want to ask after all the explanation is, what makes prophecy stand out from these other channels of dispensing unction? That's my question to the class. Because most of what we are going to be doing during the course of this conference is prophecy. Except on Sunday night, where we'll do a healing service for miracles, people that are bound in one way or the other to find liberty. Most of what we'll be doing here is prophecy. Hallelujah. If you are still with me, say amen. Is there another way to dispense unction is doctrine. Doctrine is different from revelation. Doctrine is fixed. For instance, according to the scriptures, how are we saved in the Bible? Huh? By grace. It means what brought the possibility of salvation is grace. And how the salvation was appropriated to become your possession was through faith. There is no other way to say it other than that. Doctrine is fixed. And it is when we begin to teach doctrine that it will be impossible for the church to be deceived, even if the deceiver comes with a Bible. The reason why it is cheap to deceive in our time is because we did not labor in doctrine. Ministers of the gospel that have competence in the area of establishing doctrine, which is supposed to be a foundational labor upon which the uniqueness of your own destiny, the superstructure of the uniqueness of the emphasis of your calling and your destiny can rest. Every believer is supposed to be fitted into hardline doctrine so that you know your left from your right and you know what the mind of God is about a matter. If you were well trained in doctrine, your questions will be few. Maybe you go to the office and there's something that has to do with compromise. You don't need to ask a man that was adequately fitted in doctrine. He already knows the position of God about the matter. Okay. Once upon a time, we went for a conference and the music minister was powerful music minister. I don't know why. That's the kind of music minister that I want to know, because he knows Jesus. He's clear from his singing. He's also clear from his testimonies. He's also clear from his comportment that this one knows Jesus. He's not a hireling. And he was telling us a story, because he is a convert from Islam. And, you know, obviously he was driven from home, so he fends for himself. He lives in the church building. And then God gave him this singing, this anointing. Picks speakers up in the morning, sets them up by 4 a.m. so that a morning service can hold, so that he can have 45 minutes to worship. One of those days he was worshiping and then a malam came into the congregation with a gun and shot at him, and the Holy Ghost deflected the bullet. And the guy tried to shoot again and the Holy Ghost now arrested the gun. And the bullets refused to come out. Told us all kinds of stories. And while they didn't do anything to that guy that came with a gun to the service. So, and when he escaped that situation, subsequently, he got a contract a music contract. And the contract was for 47 million. We were going to give him 47 million. And those guys were going to package him. But the condition for the contract was that he would remove Jesus from his songs. A man that is not discipled, you are not with me. Hey. A man that is not discipled in doctrine to understand the rigid regiment of operating under the government of Jesus Christ, such a man will consider that offer. In fact, when he went to his pastor told him that the breakthrough you have been looking for, is this not it? So because of the confusion that came through the response of his pastor, he had to go to God. And God told him, do you really think, is it true that you need counsel on this matter? Because if you were grounded in doctrine, your questions will be few. Revelations are dynamic, but doctrine is fixed. Just like if you look at the sky, you will see three stars that never change direction. That the stars that are the reference for all stars, and travelers that labor, that travel through the desert, use those stars as the coordinates for journeys. They are called the three northern stars. That's how doctrine is. In the pool of stars, three of them are always facing the direction of the north. That's how doctrine is. It's fixed. The Bible is closed. And that's why it is, when somebody wants to lie, and maybe they're on the pulpit, so they need to make it look Christianese, he knows that the Bible is fixed. So what he will do is, he will pick a scripture out of context and say, let me look for one. What's that common one? Money answereth all things. Especially if the person is a bishop, it becomes more interesting. I challenge you to go back and find out the context in which that verse of scripture is found. You will increase your prayer burden for Nigeria. Because the people that pick things out of context and made philosophies out of them were people that were supposed to be defenders of doctrine. But an entire generation decided to skip the labor of doctrine. In fact, the Bible calls such that are diligent to bring the service delivery of doctrine to the body of Christ as such people that are worthy of double honor. That labor is hectic. The other day, how many hours did I do on the scripture? It's just one sentence that opened. And you come back the next day again, maybe a line we open. Then you come back the other day again, then okay, the chapter now opens. And then you rejoice. The labor in doctrine is a consistent, deliberate effort to understand what was in the spirit of our ancestors when the Holy Ghost moved over them to pen down what we call the Bible today. And doctrine, like I said, is fixed. So, I don't want to cause trouble. That's why I have not opened that place. Money answering all things. Hallelujah. That's where corruption came, when scriptures were being read outside of doctrine. And somebody thinks he's teaching the scripture just because he references a verse of scripture that is supposed to exist in a habitat. And he isolates that scripture outside of the thought habitat that it is found, and then begins to escalate with it. And because the body of Christ have not been trained to discern, they still think the man is still talking scripture. There are people, are you with me? There are some people that have labored in scripture a little. I want to believe I'm in that category. Are you with me? With the little knowledge of scripture I have now, God forbid, if I'm corrupt, if I become corrupt, I can use that scripture to say many things that people will think I'm still in the Bible, because the labor of doctrine was not done. You know, when you are building the house, you can't move the foundation. That's how doctrine is. The options will no longer be many if you have been helped in the area of doctrine. If you were served doctrine, your life cannot take another shape apart from what was intended. So when you find people that are given to compromise and, you know, razzmatazz, things without pattern, without order, you will know that this one was not fed doctrine. And that's why he's loose. His options are many. But a man of doctrine is more conservative, because the word of God, you will find out, it is a fixed star.
See, so in terms of doctrine, are you still here? Doctrine doesn't have the flexibility that is needed to become the tool to communicate the present revelation position of the Spirit. So doctrine has that form of handicap. Doctrine is an apparatus for life. And when a man is served doctrine adequately, even his thought life becomes disciplined to know that this thought I'm thinking now is outside of the thoughts of God. That's what doctrine does. It insulates you from possible outlets of corruption. It brings you to a point where you begin to think in the scriptures. You become insulated in your mind. And if you are doing wrong, you know you are wrong. That's what doctrine does. So if we don't labor to establish doctrine in a generation, what we are doing is that we are declaring that Christianity will need to die. Because when demons begin to traffic the activity of demons is in the manifestation of what we call winds of doctrine. And we have done an analysis of that scripture, and we found out that the reason why it is called wind is because demons are responsible for powering it. So if a generation is not grounded in doctrine, a generation will become a victim of winds of doctrine. There's another doctrine that we blow that generation will subscribe to, which is different from the doctrine of Christ. The greatest enterprise that can be done to preserve the gospel in the generation is doctrine.
Exactly.
All right. Let me give you an example. Once upon a time, a book began to reign in Nigeria among ministers. And that book is called The 48 Laws of Power. It's a book that was written by very intelligent warlocks. In it, the wisdom of Satan was distilled into very life-applicable capsules. And that became the ledger, the manual, through which many men of God began to dispense ministry. The working principles for active life derived from the 48 laws of power. Unknown to us, our platforms became defiled because we're using principles that were immoral. And Satan was able to, behind every principle is a principality. So we gave the devil massive inroad. And the reason why that was possible was because doctrine was lacking. Now, so I'll come back to my lecture. Let me come back. I'm liking doctrine too much now. These four tributaries are the ways to dispense the import of the hand of God that descends upon the man. Meanwhile, the emphasis of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 happens to be prophecy. So if there are other options on how to dispense the burden of the law, why then does prophecy stand out? Number one, the reason is because doctrine is fixed. It doesn't have the flexibility to be able to contain all the possibilities of God's emphasis to a people part time. Knowledge, if anything is called knowledge, that thing is either present or past. That's the limitation of knowledge. Knowledge is either present or past. Knowledge is never future.
Exactly.
Okay, how many of you remember the gift of word of knowledge? The gift of word of knowledge is a supernatural means to know something that is happening in the present or past. Word of knowledge doesn't cover future. You know, we said doctrine is fixed, knowledge is limited, revelation is consistent with situation and circumstance. Are you here? So prophecy becomes the tributary that has the flexibility to capture all the dynamics of the emphasis of God. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, prophecy is pedestaled, and every believer is enjoined to make the leap beyond your ability to speak in tongues to come into a place where you can what? Prophesy. If you are still with me, say amen. Let me take you maybe one step backward, then I will leave your way and another minister. The emphasis of our deliverables is to give the church, the body of Christ, direction about 2021. Are there things that God is emphasizing? Are there rebukes that God is giving us as a body? Are there strategies that are coming from God? Are there emphases that we need to consciously proclaim? So this is the time to do that kind of ministry. That is the reason for which we have dedicated the first contact of the year to navigating through the lens of prophecy and bringing the mind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 1. It said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Next verse there. Though I have the gift of prophecy. I'm trying to draw your attention. Are you still with me? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Now you see, this prophecy contains mystery. That's revelation. Prophecy contains knowledge. Prophecy can also contain doctrine. Because God can be speaking to a people and then he emphasizes a scripture. So doctrine is in prophecy. Knowledge is in prophecy. And a mystery can only be unraveled by a revelation. That's why prophecy stands out in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And because of that, prophecy is one of the gifts that has suffered so much abuse in the body of Christ. Not doctrine. As much as doctrine has suffered abuse, if somebody begins to preach, like a man came up the other day advertising a meeting, how that will no longer die. Immortality has been released. And if he say, if you believe it, it will happen to you. Now, he can only preach to new converts from Islam, that message that he's making available. Are you with me? Because the Bible says that Jesus brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. So the good news of the gospel has two parts. First part is life. And he commissioned the life aspect when he came in the capacity of Savior. That's what the Bible teaches. And he will commission the immortality aspect on his second coming. That's when he will manifest as the resurrection. And the dead in Christ will be compelled to rise. Even not because they are doing prayer where they are. It is they will rise because of him, the resurrection. Just like you were not there to do night vigil around his tomb for him to rise from the dead. He didn't need your help. He rose irrespective of your prayer. And he will be the reason for which men will rise from the dead in the days to come. You see, the reason why you will laugh is because you know that the man is joking. Doctrine is fixed, so you cannot be creative with doctrine. What you do with doctrine is that you align with doctrine. People that have more stature than us were used to set doctrine in the body of Christ. In this generation, what we do is to align with the spirit of our ancestors. May the Lord give you understanding. Amen. Is that clear? Now, so it is easy for you to notice a man that has veered out of doctrine and trying to reinvent doctrine, bring another doctrine which is inconsistent with the doctrine. It's very easy to locate him because doctrine is fixed. But the woman that gave soothsaying in Acts chapter 16 to Paul in a prayer meeting, it was a prayer meeting. You cannot use doctrine to prove that what she said was wrong. Because that is her utterance, if we label it from introduction of prophecy. That her utterance passes as prophecy. The utterance, the content of what she said passes as prophecy. Because one of the attributes of prophecy is that it is a means through which edification can be achieved. Just in case there was any doubt about whether Paul was an accurate minister or not, the moment that utterance came, these are the servants of the Most High God that show us the way observation. Don't you think that will clear the doubt about the source of their ministry? It has built their faith. They were edified. The edifice of faith has been constructed by reason of an utterance. Doctrinally, it is impossible to prove that lady wrong. So we had to go to another faculty, which is discernment. In the area of doctrine, she was cleared for takeoff to go to the next screening point, which is the discernment area, where the Holy Spirit tests the texture of that utterance and then provides a report on the perspective of the Holy Ghost about the utterance. He registers that report on your spirit. And even though it looks like a scripture that is bringing credibility, or an utterance that is bringing credibility to the ministry of Paul, Paul doesn't want demons to accredit him. And the Spirit of God that was in Paul began to feel sore. The utterance was good to the ear, but it was bitter in the spirit, because the Holy Ghost was rejecting the source of that utterance. May the Lord grant us discernment. Oh my. The ability to see beyond face value and hold on to the content on the mind of God. I speak with a passion, because I know the season that has opened. I know the season that has opened. Hallelujah. Prophecy contains knowledge. Prophecy can unveil a revelation, a mystery. Prophecy can emphasize a doctrine in that prophecy, that gift of prophecy, the capacity to unveil the mind of God resides in that gift. And that's why God says, do not despise prophesy. That's a hard one. Do not what? The Lord will help us. A young, vibrant minister of the gospel finished ministering and was going out, and a seemingly ordinary brother from the congregation just pursued him, pleaded with him to speak with him. And he told him that he saw him with an umbrella. The umbrella was perforated. And what was like rain that the umbrella was supposed to shield was mud, very dirty mud. And it was escaping through the perforations, and it was staining his white garment. You know now. You know how that kind of an utterance will turn out. The senior man of God that just finished ministering threatened to curse the young man. Instead of him to say, okay, then go and reflect on it. Because according to that prophecy, which was a disclosure, that prophecy, because there are two streams of the gift of prophecy. It can be revelational or inspirational. So that one was revelational. A mystery was revealed. And because the minister despised the prophecy, probably because he despised the prophesier, he didn't do anything about it. Meanwhile, God was telling this young, vibrant minister that the person he's submitting under has lost his integrity. It was porous. It was now a harbinger of iniquity. And because he was connected to that particular functionary, his white garment. Meanwhile, the instruction in scripture is let your garment be always white and let your head lack no ointment. Over the years, his spiritual condition became a condition of stunted growth. And he's wondering what happened. He was warned, but he despised prophecy. And in the rule of prophecy, finally, before I take my seat, we must have more than one prophet on ground. Hallelujah. That's the culture. That's the culture. You may not like it, but that's the culture. Because we have seen many prophets
on satellite, and this one claims to be a prophet, and the things he's saying, they are lies. But it's obvious that the congregation he's ministering to doesn't know. That's why he's reigning there. Because we preach in part, as bogus as prophecy is limited. As a minister of the Lord, I can only prophesy in part. Apostle Gideon can prophesy in part. The things he says are not everything that God revealed for thee. And so because of that, there is a place where we can consult and say, okay, meanwhile, we have done the consultation for today. I say, okay, this is what is on my note. What did you receive? So in areas, are you with me? We checked, confirmed that you had your own encounters independent of me. Are you there? So if they are the same, it means the spirit is one. So we are coming here today, having checked. And we know that the direction that is coming is such as God is giving to his body at this time. I end my little presentation with a scripture. Do you still remember what I read? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. A challenge finds expression. According to verse 8, 14 verse 8, that if by any means a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And the metaphor trumpet used there means prophecy. Because by the time we go to the book of Revelation, when trumpets are blasted, what is happening is that heaven is making announcements. So the instrument through which heaven announces things is the instrument of prophecy. And in this time, as the Spirit of God begins to come back to the continent of Africa, one of the signs of the density of his presence on the continent will be the rise of true prophets. Many prophets that were not sent by God took off like a tornado. And they have covered the space with junk. But it shall come to pass in these days that God will raise men that carry his voice. And when they speak, all the turbulence and the noise will go to rest. I like Milkiah. The moment he came to the congregation of the prophets, his perspective was not popular, but time vindicated him. I'm talking about people that are in the visual environment of the activity that is taking place in heaven. They were summoned to heaven as participants in that forum where God decides the things about nations. Micaiah was a senator. He was present in the Senate of heaven when the issues were discussed and the pattern of manifestation that will be sustained. The other prophets knew how to pick things from the realm of the spirit, but they did not, their antenna was good. They could pick things, but they did not know what frequency was transmitting. And the message they were bringing was a message that was designed to beguile the king. Only a man that was invited into the floor where kingdom things were discussed had the accurate position of the mind of God. That time has come in the body of Christ where such men out of the depth of intercourse will say again, thus saith the Lord. So to take us further, we are a few witnesses and so many seasoned men of God traveling from different parts of this nation. It is so that we can have a chat that adequately captures the emphasis that is on the mind of God. I salute you, everyone that came to be part of this conference in the month of January. There's hunger in the land, but you travel. Even our government is looking for where to borrow money, but you yet travel. God will give you something more than money.